man. Well, let's see. I want to just find something out right now. Raise your hand if someone from First Baptist invited you here today. Just raise your hand if you're one of those folks. All right. So we got a handful of folks here. Very good. Raise your hand if you were invited by the church, basically a social media post or anything like that. Raise your hand if you saw something like that. All right. So none. Nobody. Man, nobody. All right. Well, good deal. The last few days, the family and I, we were out in Texas. I gave up being a fisher of men and tried to be a fisher of fish. And I'm a better fisher of men than I am a fisher of fish. While we were in the boat, this is how clumsy I am. I was going from one side of the boat to help get something for Sam. I don't know what it was. But I went to drop to a knee. I was going to drop to a knee, and there's kind of this little shelf thing, and I went down to do that. And I hit, I dropped full force, all 180 pounds of me. Yeah, whatever. Dropped down on a knee, and I hit that charging case or whatever it was called, and that thing almost busted up my knee. It was all swollen. My leg was swollen about that. Yeah, it was swollen up. It was bad. I could barely walk. I was struggling around. I was walking like this. It was terrible. It's terrible. So the fishing thing, not for me, not out on the water anyway. Sam wants me to get a boat. And he's like, Daddy, I'm going to get a canoe, and you'll see me and Sam out there, out in Lake Providence or something like that. But do what? Literally in Lake Providence. So that's where we're at. And then I thought, how many of us in churches are fishers of men? Why are we fishers of men? We're told by Jesus, be fishers of men. Go out there and catch them. So it's our job to go out there and to catch them. We're to catch them. God will clean them, right? It's not your job to hold them up to a microscope and say, you got this wrong in your life, and I see you doing that. Let's just catch them. Let God clean them. That's what we're doing, right? While you're in church, it's always good to have those folks around you that can hold you accountable when you slip up. It's just what we're supposed to do. That's biblical as well. What a friend does is a friend gets you somewhere that you want to be, right? So if you were invited by a friend today, hopefully they're getting you to a place where you want to be. Maybe it's a place in life. Maybe it's the actual physical building of First Baptist or whatever. But this morning, we are going to look at John chapter 20. And I apologize, Lee. We're going to start a little earlier than the verses I gave you. And you don't have to put them up there. You can just catch up when I get to you. But we're going to start in John 19. John 20:19 is where we're going to be this morning. And if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've been going through the book of John. Right? We've been looking at it. We've been going through it. And today, we are going to preach a sermon that happens a week after Easter. Man, that's going to be pretty good. How many of y'all are freezing in here? All right, I'm going to bump that up like 2 degrees. How's that? My gosh, it's on 51. I'm just kidding. That'll kill some of that. So, we're just not a warm church. So anyway, we're going to be 20. We're going to start in 19. This is talking about Easter Day. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood up in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said of him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to them, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." All right. So, a lot has gone on since Thomas met with Jesus, right? It was 8 days later till Thomas got to see Jesus. All the other guys, they all saw him a week ago. They all saw him Easter Sunday afternoon at the latest, right? But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas hasn't seen Jesus since the arrest. Y'all remember that? Jesus standing there. And he may not have even got to really see him at that point. He was somewhere off sleeping. Jesus got arrested when the other three were with him. So Thomas really conclusively has not seen Jesus since the Lord's Supper, since the Last Supper. It's 8 days. He hears about him being arrested. He hears about him being beaten. He hears about the trial. He hears about the crucifixion. He hears about the humiliation. Thomas was never really a witness to any of that. And we have this old expression, seeing is what? Believing. Man. And the Bible even says that. Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and you've believed. But how many in here have ever seen? Well, I don't need to go there probably. Open a can of worms. How many of you have never met the actual physical flesh Jesus where you touched his hands and you put your hand in his side? I've never done that. But my faith, there's about six of us. Everybody else met him.
Came over my house last night.
Thomas wasn't there, though, that day. What were the disciples all doing together? They were fearful. They were afraid of who? The Bible said they were afraid of the Jews. Why were they afraid of the Jews? Because if they could crucify Jesus, they can crucify us. I'm going to speculate, and it's just my speculation, that Thomas wasn't excited about the fact of being crucified, and that may have led him to not be with all the other ones. Thomas may have been by himself. He could have been on an errand. He could have been running to pick up some bread at the bakery or something like that. But I tend to believe that Thomas wasn't there because of some other reason. And that reason may have had to do with the oncoming fear that was over all of them and the persecution that they were about to face and that they already would be facing. Thomas, he's not there. Anybody know what FOMO means? Fear of missing out. How many of y'all have ever had FOMO, fear of missing out, right? People who have stocks in the stock market, right? All of a sudden, you see something about to go up and you're like, man, I gotta buy more of that stock because of fear of missing out. Sometimes there's other things that you do and you're afraid you're going to miss something, right? That's how gossip circles get started. I got to go down to the hairdresser today because I'm afraid someone's going to say something and I'm going to miss out on it. Fear of missing out is what happens. Ain't that right, Miss Didi? Yep, you know it. We have a fear of missing out. Thomas didn't have that fear that day. Thomas just flat out was like, no, I'm not going to be there. And he missed out. And I want you to see what he missed out on. He missed out on Jesus showing up. Jesus shows up, and what's the first thing Jesus says to him? Peace be with you. Peace unto you. How Jesus greets them. They are in fear. They have worries. They're probably paranoid. Did you see that Roman guard? Was he looking for it? Oh, yeah, I don't know if I shook him. I think he might have followed us. He might have seen. Jesus walks in and he says, everybody calm down. Peace. Because that's what the presence of Jesus brings, is that peace. And you know that if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, that day you got born again, that day you got saved, was the day that you finally were like, oh, there's peace in my soul. I don't have to worry. Jesus brings peace when he comes. And that's how he greets them. But who wasn't there? Thomas. I wouldn't want to miss out on that, would you? Jesus gave the Holy Spirit, breathes on them. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, or receive the Holy Spirit, right? Breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit then, right? And what happens? Nothing for Thomas. Why? Because he wasn't there. He's missing out. And then when they finally do run into Thomas, Thomas says, I will not believe. Now, this way that he says it is emphatic. He's like, I don't believe it. I don't believe you. This isn't like LSU's going to win the next three baseball games, and if you're keeping up with them, it ain't going to happen, right? So, you could say that, and it's like, I don't believe you. But if you were serious about it, if you were absolutely, no, they cannot win. That was Thomas. I don't believe you unless I see the prints in his hands. Oh, yeah, and this is in case a Jehovah's Witness ever shows up to your door and says, oh, Jesus was hung on a torture stake, right? Which is like a straight-up pole, and he was nailed in at the hands and the feet. The Bible actually uses plural on nails. If you hang someone that way, it's only one nail. But the Bible actually uses plural for nails. So it kind of takes away. Anyway, I'm chasing a rabbit there. But anywho, in case you like to entertain Jehovah's Witnesses like I do, love that. It's like the highlight of my week. They usually leave before they want to. Anyway, Thomas was like, unless I touch him, see him, handle him, I'm not going to believe him. I'm not going to believe any of y'all. Now, here's what I got to ask you. Where was Thomas when all these other miracles that Jesus did took place? He was standing right there. Thomas was at almost, I'm just going to go ahead and say, 98% of the miracles that Jesus did. Thomas performed miracles when he went out as some of the 72. Thomas perform them in the name of Jesus. But now he doesn't believe. Thomas has seen people be raised from the dead when Jesus commanded them to multiple times. But now he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe that Jesus can do it for himself. The rest of the guys all leave. And at this point, I want to tell you, there's a few things that I wouldn't want to miss out on. What would you not want to miss out on in life? Right? Some of y'all be like, I wouldn't want to miss out on the stuff in my kid's life. Growing up, watching them play basketball, right? Watching them graduate. watching them go through whatever things that they're going to do in life, their marriage, their wedding, I guess you could say. Not their marriage, but their wedding. You wouldn't want to miss out on that. You wouldn't want to miss out on what else? What are some other things you wouldn't want to miss out on? Their graduations, yep. Baptism. You wouldn't want to miss out on that stuff. I wouldn't want to miss out on my own funeral, right? I can be late sometimes, and people, oh, he's going to be late for his own funeral. And the funny thing is about a funeral is that everybody lies on their way through a funeral. Oh, he just looks so good and so natural. No, they don't. No offense, Todd. But if they do their work right, you know, I need a little sign that says, this old body's been done, worn out, is no good. I'm glad he's dead. This is what he looks like, you know. It's terrible. You don't want to miss your anniversary, do you? Because if you do, you may face your funeral earlier than you thought. But these are all the things you don't want to miss out on in life. And now from here, I want to jump off into some other things that we don't want to miss out on. Like Thomas missed out on. You see, Thomas missed out on that church service, I guess you could call it, that very first one where the people were there and they received the Holy Spirit and they got to see Jesus face to face on that Sunday. You don't want to miss the service, right? The church service that they had. How many of y'all come to church expecting that God's going to move, expecting that the Holy Spirit is going to be at work, and you have a fear of missing out on church? Anybody? Few of you. That's how we ought to show up to church each and every time, whether it's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether it's an activity that we're going to do this week, like M night, 6:30 here, right? A little promotion. We need to show up with an expectation, and I'm guilty of it too. We need to pray that God, Lord, I pray that you will move in me, that you will reveal things to me that need to be revealed about me so that I can work on them with you, so that I can chisel away the old me that is stony, that is stiff, that is rigid, just like the old Israelites were, these stiff-necked people, these, I need you to make me soft and pliable, Lord. I need you to give me a heart that sees how you want me to see, eyes that spot the need in people, so that I can be a blessing to them, to draw them closer to you. Do you miss out on services where God does move? And then you grow apart from them? Because that's kind of what happened with Thomas. Thomas wasn't there at that original church service Easter afternoon, right? He wasn't there. He was gone. And because of that, he grew apart from him. He was like, I'm not going to believe it. I know what Jesus can do. I know what Jesus has done. I know what I've done in the name of Jesus, but I don't believe you. I'm just going to grow apart from him. When you miss out with the fellowship and the gathering together with other believers, Hebrews talks about it in chapter 10, don't forsake that. Be with one another. Sharpen each other. Hold each other accountable. Grow each other in the faith. Challenge each other in the faith. Love one another when you're going through hard times. That's what the Bible teaches. Do you have a fear of missing out on the service? The other thing I don't want to miss out on, shout. I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians here. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I read this at funerals. If I do your funeral, I'm probably going to read this. As long as you're a believer. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring us with him, those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, I don't want to miss that service, that meeting with Jesus where he gives me the Holy Spirit. And hopefully everybody in this room has had that experience with Christ where he puts his Spirit in you, that breath of life in you. And then I pray that I do not miss, and those that I love and everyone in this room does not miss, the shout. Because he's going to come back with a shout and he's going to call you up in the air with him. Do you want to miss that shout? Be like, well, there goes everybody. Guess I'm stuck here. No, you don't. You don't want to miss that. I bet you what? I bet you have a whole lot more fear of missing out on that than you do on missing out on what God's going to do on a Sunday morning in April or May or June or a Wednesday night in October or December. Don't miss the service. Don't miss that Spirit-filled service. Don't miss the shout. Because what happens if the shout comes and you're left behind? Y'all are like, I saw that movie. You don't want to be that guy left behind, that girl left behind. You don't want your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids to be that. So what are you going to do? You got to leave a legacy. You got to live like you have that fear of missing out and that you fear for them missing out, right? It's going to cause you to be a fisher of men. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. Don't miss out on the service. Don't miss out on the shout. Don't miss out on the supper. I'm going to take you to Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Now, this is like what I'm talking about, the end times, right? And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters. This is 19:6. And the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. Who's the bride that we're talking about here? The church. That's y'all who are believers. He calls you up, like I just mentioned in Thessalonians. He brings you to himself. He pulls you in and says, you're my bride, and this is the big marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss any meal, as you can tell, and in the video, I really was struggling. I don't want to miss a meal, but I especially don't want to miss that meal. It's the meal where the church is gathered up as the spotless and blameless bride of Christ. Where he looks at you and says, you know what? Though your flaws are many, and though your sin is as black as filth and as black as soot, I look through it. I look at you through the blood of Christ, and I see you as white and as pure and as good as Jesus was. Because it's not our own righteousness that gets us there. It's the righteousness of Christ that gets us to respond to that shout, to be called up, to be part of that bride of Christ. Now, I don't want to miss the service. I don't want to miss the shout. I don't want to miss the supper. Next thing, I don't want to miss the saddle.
The saddle? What?
Y'all know I'm not a cowboy, right? Hopefully in that video you saw me almost have a heart attack because of a chicken. Imagine what would happen with me next to a 3-ton animal. How much does a horse weigh? Not 3 tons. Half ton? Pickup truck? Half a ton, right? I've been on a horse once in my life. One time. It was in Nicaragua. And I'm good on that horse, and they posed me up there, and I stuck my hand in my shirt like I was Napoleon conquering a new territory. And as soon as I could get down, I got down. And I didn't do anything else on a horse ever in my life. I don't want to miss the saddle. What are you talking about, Tony? Look in Revelation here as well. 19, stay right there in 19. Verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine white linen, clean, followed him on white horses." That's us. "Now out of his mouth went a sharp sword, and with it he should strike down the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. I don't want to miss that day getting on a horse. I'll get on that horse. And I may be as scared as I was in Nicaragua, and I may just be riding, looking at the guy next to me going, "I don't know how to ride this thing. I hope I don't fall off." And I may need training wheels on my horse, but I don't want to miss it. I'm going to be there in my army fatigues. How many of y'all think of army fatigues and think of a white linen suit? Right? In the Navy. Anyway. Probably not the right group to be singing in church. Anyway. That's the army that we get to be a part of, and we're coming back with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's got fire in his eyes and a sword in his mouth, and he's riding a white horse. A week and a half earlier from Thomas, 2 weeks earlier, Jesus came in not riding on a white horse, proven and fit for battle. He came riding in on a donkey. Came riding in on a donkey because he came in with peace on his mind, with peace and love in his eyes and in his heart, and he came in to win Jerusalem. But that didn't happen. They crucified him. And now, in the book of Revelation, when you see that guy coming in on that steed with the fire in his eyes, that sword in his mouth, he is coming not in peace. He's coming to claim whatever he wants to conquer, and he's going to get it done. And you get to be a part of that army. Don't miss it. And then, the last thing, some of y'all looking at your watches, worrying about it. How many S's are we going to do today? The singing. We're going to be looking at the singing. You don't want to miss the singing. Don't miss it. What's the singing? 10 times throughout the Bible, you see sing a new song. You see it in the book of Psalms. You see it in Isaiah. And you see it in the book of Revelation. We're singing a new song. A new song to Him. Every song that you've ever heard pales in comparison to the song that you will be singing to Him. And you're going to stand there and you're going to lift up holy hands as He tells us to do in His Word. And you're going to sing praises and glory to God. And it will be absolutely amazing. Even if you sound as bad as me when I sing, you're going to sound like Luciano Pavarotti. You're going to sound like the worst singers now are going to be amazing singers then. And that's going to be you. And some of y'all are like, I don't sing. I don't like singing these songs. We sing songs on Sunday morning. I just sit there and grit my teeth and bear it until the preaching starts. And then I wish we could just hurry up and leave at that point. But here's the deal. You are going to be so excited and so glad. And that word gladness showed up in John and it showed up in Revelation. You're going to be so glad that you get to sit there, that you were part of the army, that you were at the supper, that you were in the service, that the Holy Spirit is in you, that you're just going to be praising His name for all eternity in heaven. And it will never get old, and I believe that every day is going to be a new song to sing. And they will never grow old, they will never be tiresome. You're never going to be like, I'm just going to hum today. It's going to be glorious. I don't want you to miss it. We get so excited about the stupidest thing in life. Stupidest things, right? We get excited when our kids' team wins the Dixie Youth Series or whatever we play down the road here, right? Oh, we won! We won it all! Stupid. We get excited. I'm in Oak Grove, so I got to be careful now. We get excited when we win baseball championships or football championships. We're getting a chip in the ring, baby, number three. But all that stuff is temporal. None of it lasts. None of it is worth it. We get all excited when our bank account reaches a certain number. Whoa, I got $1,500. Hopefully y'all have more than that. But all of that fades away. Nothing is as good as knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. And I hope you don't miss out on it.